Do not be unbelieving, but believe. The final words of Jesus to Thomas in today's gospel. So we reflect on unbelieving and believing, or on lack of faith and faith, or doubt and faith. To reflect on this, we can put it in the setting of what we have been reflecting on for the past couple of weeks. The church has been inviting us to reflect on faith for a while now. Remember, two Sundays ago, the apostles were in the storm. It's on the front cover, if you remember, the front cover of the current issue is apostles in the storm. Jesus is sleeping in the boat. Remember what Jesus said to them, "Why are you terrified? Do you not yet have faith?" The question was about faith. Last Sunday, it was also about faith. The faith of the woman with the hemorrhage, the faith of Jairus. Remember what Jesus said to Jairus? Do not be afraid, just have faith. In fact, for the past 2 weeks in the daily masses, we have been reflecting on the faith of Abraham, the faith journey of Abraham. Faith is something that we have, but it's also something that grows as we journey. And today we have, in the middle of this discussion of faith, we have St. Thomas, the one who's famous for doubting. Tomorrow we're going to run into this issue again. Some of you have already reflected or pondered tomorrow's gospel. It's when Jesus goes to Nazareth and his own townspeople don't believe in him. They don't have faith. In fact, they refuse to believe in him. Something like Thomas. To reflect on this, we can start by thinking about how we know things. How do we know anything? Usually, the first thing that comes to mind is we know things by our own experience. We see them, we touch them, we hear them, we can observe reality, and because we can, we know it's real. I know that there's an altar here because I can touch it, I can feel it, I can see it. You can see that there's an altar here. I don't have to explain it to you. You can see it. And that's the first level of knowing, our own personal experience, what we see, touch, hear, smell. Well, that's good, but it doesn't get us very far because there are a lot of things that we can't see and touch, smell, taste. Most of what we know because other people have told us. By far more than what we have seen or experienced with our own senses. Oh gosh, there's countless examples. What's the tallest mountain in the world? Mount Everest. You're supposed to say Mount Everest. Everybody knows that's a... Has anyone seen Mount Everest? They've seen pictures. Okay, we've seen pictures. I mean, do you know where it is? Mount Everest? Somewhere in Nepal? None of us has ever gone there. None of us has ever seen it. We know pictures. We've seen movies about it. We hear about it in science. Do you know how tall Mount Everest is? Did you ever measure it? Well, I never measured it. Well, it's 8,000 something meters. We always learned when we were in school, 29,000 feet. 29,000 feet. How do you know that? Well, someone told you. Someone measured it. Someone took the picture. Someone did the scientific calculations and said, this is the tallest mountain in the world. And we believe it. It's not Christian faith, but it's a kind of faith. It's natural faith, trust in what someone else told us. And we do this all the time, because if we didn't do that, we wouldn't be able to function at all. How would we know anything unless we believe what people tell us? There was a bit of a controversy this week, maybe you know of this, about the weather. The weather is one of the easiest things to observe. All week it's been very hot and hazy. Not clear skies, strange kind of oppressive weather. And about in the middle of the week, people started to say, it's because of Ta'al volcano. Ta'al volcano erupted, was that Thursday or Thursday? So Ta'al volcano erupted. Well, most of us have seen Ta'al volcano, it's not very far from here, but probably none of us has seen it since it erupted. How do you know that it erupted? Someone said it, someone sent a picture, someone reported it. So we were told, we didn't see it ourselves. Then the controversy was, is this hazy weather because of the volcano or because of air pollution? Did anyone see this? It was in the social media. Some people were saying it's air pollution, it's too many jeepneys, it's too many factories. And other people were saying, no, it's because of the weather patterns. It's not moving the humidity out of the Manila Bay area. And then other people were saying, no, it's because of Ta'al volcano. It's all sulfur dioxide particles or something and spewing out of the volcano. Well, how do we know? Did you measure what's in the air? Is it smog? Is it humidity? Is it sulfur dioxide? Is it? How do you know? Somebody has to measure it. And I don't know the resolution to that conflict. I think most people think it's a combination of all these things. Partly it's the volcano, partly it's the pollution, partly it's the weather pattern. Okay, that's enough. I mean, you get the point. How do we know things? Because people tell us, and we trust them. We believe what they tell us. How about a more personal example? When is your birthday? Well, remember, you know your birthday. Oh, my birthday's in December, your birthday's in August, your birthday's in January. How do you know that? Not because you experienced it, even though you did, and we all experienced our birth, but we don't remember it, and we don't know what day it was. Someone told us when our birthday is. Something that personal to us, something that important to us, we don't know by experience. We only know it because someone told us or someone documented it for us. I know a lot of people, actually, who don't know their birthday. They don't really know the day. Why? Because they were born in the province and no one wrote it down. They weren't registered and there's no record. Well, you can't know what people don't tell us. Okay. So most of what we know is from what others tell us. And there's been an explosion of knowledge with the information age because people tell us a lot more than they could before with all kinds of information technology. But is it true? Is what we're told, what we hear in the media, true? We know about the problem of fake news. People spread around a report that is not based on truth, it's based on someone's wrong conclusion or speculation. And then other people believe it and it spreads around on the social media, fake news. Okay, now we get to the experience of Thomas. Thomas was not there. We all know the story of Thomas. Now, on Easter day, he wasn't there. Jesus rose from the dead. He appeared to the apostles. Thomas wasn't there. The apostles told him, we've seen the Lord. We've seen him. He's alive. He was right here in this room. He says, nope, I won't believe it. Until I see it for myself, until I touch him myself. He narrows down what he will know down to his own experience, not what other people tell him. If I touch him, then I will believe in what you say. Of course, the next week, Divine Mercy Sunday, we call it, the next week, the following Sunday, Jesus appears again, Thomas is there. And Jesus says, okay, Thomas, put your finger here. Put your hand here. Touch, see, believe. It doesn't say whether Thomas actually put his hand in his side or not. Because Jesus says, put your finger here, put your hand into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believe. And the very next thing it says here, Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. This is at the center of what we celebrate today. Not that Thomas put his hand into Jesus' side, but that Thomas said, my Lord and my God. You see, that expression, my Lord and my God, is an expression not of seeing and touching. It's an expression of faith. Let's think about this a moment. Thomas was already a believer. This, we think of people's conversion moments when they met the Lord for the first time. Yesterday we heard about St. Matthew when he was called for the first time, his conversion. Thomas had followed the Lord for 3 years. He had seen lots of miracles. In fact, we read last Sunday about the raising of the daughter of Jairus. Thomas was there. No, he wasn't in the room. Only Peter, James, and John were eyewitnesses. But Thomas was outside with the rest of the apostles and everybody else. He was told that the girl was dead. Everybody knew she was dead. He didn't have to take her pulse and examine the body to see whether she was dead or not. Everyone knew she was dead. And then, the next minute, she's up walking around. Thomas saw that. He saw that Jesus had power over death. All the apostles saw that. When the apostles said to Thomas, we have seen the Lord, they were saying, one, we have natural knowledge. We have seen, not faith. We know him because we saw him. We saw him eating. He ate some cooked fish right here in this room. But then they were also saying, because we have seen him, we believe he's the Lord. He's risen from the dead. Seeing and believing. They saw him, they believed. They told Thomas. Thomas did not believe what they said. So he cut himself off from the normal way of knowing things. We know things because people tell us. But he also cut himself off from believing. See, if we don't believe what people tell us, we can't believe either. We can't have faith. Because faith is to believe what God tells us. Natural faith or human trust is to believe what people tell us. Faith, Christian faith, is to believe what God tells us, what God reveals. Thomas cut himself off from both. I don't believe what you're telling me, I don't believe that you saw him, and I don't believe that he's risen from the dead. But when he experienced him himself, when Thomas experienced Jesus himself, he leapt from seeing Jesus. He saw him. That was not faith. That was normal knowledge. He saw him. He leapt from the natural level to the level of faith. I believe that you are God. We can't see God. We can't see that Jesus is God. You have to believe that Jesus is God because he looks like a man. This is the problem that the people have in tomorrow's gospel. When Jesus goes to Nazareth, well, we know him. They say he's the son of Joseph. We know his family. He's no big deal. So they could see that he's a man, but they would not believe that he was a prophet, much less that he was God. Well, here's Thomas, leaps over the question of whether Jesus is alive or not. That everyone can see that. But he says, my Lord and my God. So he goes from unbelief to belief. It goes from resistance to faith. Giving us an example of what we are to do. There are lots of reasons why people don't believe. We saw this in the storm on the lake. The reason they didn't believe is because they were afraid. And that's probably the most common reason why people don't believe. They're afraid. Afraid to trust something they can't control or experience or touch. How can I let go? Fear is a big obstacle to faith. pride is a big obstacle to faith. This idea that I have to see for myself is a big obstacle to faith. I read a study recently that the people who are most skeptical, the people who are most insistent that they have to see for themselves, first of all, men are much more like that than women, and younger men are much more like that than older. So young men, here I've got a bunch of young men here in the choir, the age group of 20s, they're the least like, according to the statistics, they're the least likely to have faith. They say, if you want me to believe in God, show him to me. If you want me to have faith, prove it to me. That's the typical response of young men. I don't know if any of the young men have that attitude. Young men are the least, according to the statistics, the least likely to make this leap of faith. They don't trust. Young children trust. If you tell children that there's a God, they say, I know there's God. If you tell a 21-year-old there's a God, he say, well, prove it to me. If you tell a 51-year-old there's a God, he'll say, well, I've experienced God already. I know God has sustained me through all these years. If you tell someone who's 91, you say, well, I wouldn't be here if it weren't for God. But if you're 21, you say, well, I'm here because I'm 21, I'm strong, and I can do it myself. Who needs God? Okay, so I'm just saying there are obstacles to faith. There's fear, and there's pride. There's this kind of natural skepticism. We have to be able to leap over all these. And how do we make this leap? We have to trust what other people tell us, for one thing, meaning what the apostles tell us, what believers tell us. And we have to also trust what God reveals to us. Because sometimes God reveals things to us directly by our own experience of his goodness, his mercy, of his providence, things that happen that only God could do, and we see it. So we have to trust these two things, what other people tell us and what we experience. Thomas had to do this. He didn't trust his brother apostles, and he didn't trust what he had heard from Jesus until he saw him. That's why Jesus at the end says, well, have you come to believe because you have seen me? You have evidence? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen, who do not have this much concrete evidence, but who believe, who make this leap of trusting in what they're told by other believers, and what they're told by God himself. This is what we're invited to do. Not to be unbelieving. That no one can make us believe. We have to do it ourselves. We have to make this step ourselves. No one can force Thomas to believe. Even Jesus doesn't force him. He just tells him, don't be unbelieving. And this is what Jesus says to us. Don't be unbelieving. Don't keep resisting. Don't keep giving in to fear. Don't keep living in pride. Don't be skeptical of what is revealed. Do not be unbelieving, but believe. And once we make this leap, or as we continuously make this leap, then we can become instruments of good news for others. Thomas, I said this at the beginning of the Mass, Thomas went to India and proclaimed the gospel there until he was martyred. Go out to all the world and tell the good news. Why? Because people won't know it unless they hear it from someone. We don't know, most of what we know is what we hear from other people. So if no one tells us the good news, we don't know it. And if we don't tell the good news, people don't know it. Go out to all the world and tell the good news. It's part of believing is sharing what we believe. Part of receiving faith is giving faith. Gifted to give, the theme of the 500 years. So Thomas is a great example of that. Great instructor in the gift, the mystery, the process of moving from doubt to faith. And once we have experienced this great gift of faith, sharing it with others. Do not be unbelieving, but believe.